are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
That's Doc Watson, one of the many artists you can hear on the Cascadia Coffee House each Friday morning, when we share a wide variety of traditional and contemporary folk and roots music with you from 5:30 to 7 a.m. Each week, your hosts Dan Schrammack and Stephen Morrison bring you some of our favorite new releases and plenty of vintage favorites. It's a great way to start your Fridays, discover some new music, and find out about shows and festivals coming to the area. You can also find show playlists and listen to archive shows on demand via our website at kboo.fm and also via our free mobile app. That's the Cascadia Coffee House each Friday morning, where you hear a variety of traditional and contemporary folk and roots music from 5:30 to 7, right here on KBOO. We hope you'll join us.
Hey, KBOO listeners, join us at the station on February 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. for our Stupid KBOOPID First Friday Arts Walk. Enjoy art, listen to music, have a drink, get your face painted, and pick up a Valentine's gift from one of our amazing vendors. There's something for everyone. We can't wait to see you. And the moment that you wander far
from me, baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. And today we are talking with Nicholas. Nicholas is the author of a book, and he's also currently a resident of a correctional facility. And Nicholas, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's great having you on the show. So Nicholas, you wrote a book. Your book is called More Than an Inmate?
My book is actually called the Prisoner Manifesto, and my organization that I've started is called More Than the Inmate.
Oh, great. Okay. And
yeah, the More Than the Inmate is kind of like my social media platform where I try to educate and give a voice to inmates, because I think that's one of the main things that is important to rehabilitation and reentering society again.
Oh, great. Well, so you wrote a book called The Prisoner's Manifesto. So let's go ahead and talk about that. What inspired you to write this book?
So the idea that I wanted to express to the world more about the human side of who we are, because I feel like sometimes we're not humanized enough, and as people start to see us as the other, understandably so, and I wanted to write this book to kind of show people our struggle and who we are, and that we're really not much different than everybody else. We just made some mistakes. And I also wanted to show prisoners that not to get lost in here, and that the outside world does care about us, and that there's reasons to try to work on ourselves and be better, and that it's not over for us. So I wanted to put this book together that I could send out into the world and hope be a guideline or a light to somebody's life to inspire them to become better.
Oh, great. Where is this book available? How can people read this book if they want to read it?
So right now it's available on Barnes & Noble, and as well as Amazon. And I'm working to get it into bargain books, catalogs, and other places, that other vendors that inmates can buy from.
Did you write this book while you were in prison, or did you write it while you were outside?
So I wrote this book last year. Right now I'm housed in a maximum security unit where we come out of our rooms only 3 hours a day. So I'm in my room 21 hours a day, and I would utilize that time to write the book. And I've actually been in prison for the last, 16 years now, since I was 18, and I'm 34 now. So I've gone through a lot of, I was lost and confused in the beginning of my number and made a lot of bad mistakes and was kind of wild. But as I got older and matured and reflected on the things that I was doing, I started to realize where a lot of us were going wrong. And as I started to see where I was going wrong, I felt like I wanted to help others get things together again too, because there's a lot of good people back here and we just get lost sometimes. I plan on making workbooks. I actually want to turn the Prisoner Manifesto into workbooks that are separated by chapters and can distribute for free to people that are interested. And that's where my focus is right now.
Well, it's really amazing that you had the ability working under those kind of conditions of being housed in a maximum security facility where you're only able to get out for 3 hours a day to not only write a book, but also to get it out into the world. So would you like to tell me a little bit about the story of, you know, how you wrote the book? Like, did you, is that something you started recently? Have you been working on it a long time?
Yeah, so writing, I think I've loved writing since I knew how to write as a kid, and I wasn't able to really focus my writing or have the discipline to actually do it until I came to prison. And I was working on other projects for the last few years, different things that I was kind of just dipping and dabbling with. And I recently, about 3 years ago, I was caught with a cell phone. And I was sent to the hole for 13 months over the cell phone. And that 13-month period, I did a lot of reflection, and I just realized I didn't want to keep doing this. I didn't want to keep going to the hole and having to restart these processes and being out of touch with my family. And I did a lot of reading down there. And when I came out of the hole, I had a goal to be a different person this time around and actually change. And while I was out, just the title came to me one day when I was walking out of my room. It just hit me, the Prisoner Manifesto. And it is a, to some people, an extreme title. That the prison actually won't let us have it because they told me because they don't like the title itself. But they read the book and they said it's educational and inspirational. They just didn't want people to get the wrong idea. But I wanted the title to kind of be radical a little bit, because I feel like inmates as a whole need to have a radical shift in the way that we see ourselves and society. And I was hoping I could be a part of that shift. So after the title came to me, the ideas just kept coming, and I just sat down and told myself every day I'm going to wake up and just write until I can't write anymore. And 30 days later, the book was finished and ready to go.
Wow, that's great. So you really were inspired to write, and it sounds like you really enjoy writing. Have you written any other books?
I'm actually writing a book right now called the More Than an Inmate PowerPoint. It's an outline of 10 steps that I feel need to be taken to become like what More Than an Inmate represents. And like the first 5 steps focus on the inside, on changing ourselves and working on the soul, in a sense. And after you finish the first 5 steps, then you have the external 5 steps that affect the world. And that's the project that I'm working on right now. I'm really excited to finish and introduce to everybody.
Well, that's great. Well, so let's talk about your book, The Prisoner's Manifesto, a little bit more then. Can you tell me about kind of the introduction and like the first part of the book? What is?
Sure. The beginning of the book, the introduction, starts with a quote from Nelson Mandela, who served 27 years in prison as a political prisoner before he was released and became president of South Africa. But he said, "Prison is designed to break one's spirit and destroy one's resolve. To do this, the authorities attempt to exploit every weakness, demolish every initiative, negate all signs of individuality, all with the idea of stamping out that spark that makes each of us human and each of us who we are. Our survival depended on understanding what the authorities were attempting to do to us and sharing that understanding with each other." So I start with this, and then I try to go on and explain. I tell the readers that as I began writing this book, I asked myself, why is it necessary for me to write this script? And I go on to explain who I am to the readers and how I'm just like other inmates and that I've been through the same things they've been through. And I try to explain stories about things that I believe other prisoners would relate to, and just to show them like, hey, I'm just like you. I get it. I'm actually walking the same shoes that you walk. And I get into that. And the first part of the book actually explains integrity. It's based about what integrity is. We've all heard the word before, but do we all really know what it means? And I explain that and why it's important to us and why I believe personally that integrity is the most important thing to being a responsible citizen. And I get into virtues and values. Over the years, I created what I call the 12 virtues of integrity. And it took me a long time to get these virtues together, but once I did, I use them as a guideline now with the decisions that I make in life. So I shared these different virtues as well as different vices. I speak about part one is basically educational, like different ways to build routines and discipline practices and things to do. And part two is resources, where how to network and meet new people in the world as far as pen pal sites, how to start businesses and different business ideas, different ways to publish books and have chapters on writing and self-publishing. And basically a self-help book for prisoners is what I've put together here. But it's also enlightening for people who have loved ones who are in prison, because it helps people see what it's like for a prisoner in here. I share a lot of different stories about how I learned these lessons and what led me to the point that I'm at today.
Well, it sounds great. I mean, I'm really impressed, you know, as somebody who spends a lot of time producing media and talking to adults in custody. Everything that you've said is something that I think our program really tries to also advocate for, and you're doing it from inside, which is just amazing. I mean, do you mind if I ask? I mean, it's really unusual for somebody who's housed in a maximum security facility to have the wherewithal to figure out how to put together a book, not just to write it, but also to get it published. How did you get it published? How did you do that?
When I was in the hole for that 13 months, when I was doing a lot of reading, I read about other prison writers, and I was trying to read books that were wrote by prisoners, and they actually explain the process that you can go through, which is print-on-demand services through Amazon or other things like that. And I got that started. I sent my manuscript to the world and had somebody edit it and shape it and upload it to the internet for me. And that was basically the steps to get it going. And sometimes it is difficult to be in these places and stay positive, because a lot of people don't have a lot to be positive about. Like, a lot of people don't have family members. I have so many people around me who couldn't call one person if there was just nothing they could do to call a person. And those types of things, I want to try to keep positivity around me. And a lot of the staff members and the administration don't understand what I'm trying to do where I'm at, but I believe that reform starts with us, and that in order for the outside world to want to help us in any way, they have to see that we are helping ourselves. And I'm in a place where I can share that knowledge, and if I can teach other people why we need to be better, the reasons for doing so, and once we make these changes, the world will notice. They will see what we're doing, and then they will try to help us too. And I think it goes into building that bridge between us and the community again, that it all starts with us. It starts in here. And I want to try to inspire that in other people around me.
Well, that's great. So you were inspired too by reading other people who had written books while they too were incarcerated like you. That must have been very meaningful and very inspiring to be able to hear from other people going through the same thing that you were going through. What did they say in their books that inspired you to write your book?
Yeah, when I first, the very first book, I'll never forget the moment when I picked it up. It was actually, somebody was giving it away in my unit, and I picked it up and looked at it, and I was like, this is, hold on. And I read the back of it, and the guy said that he was serving a life sentence, like I am, and he's sitting in his cell right now writing these books, and I just couldn't believe it. My mind was just blown. I was like, oh, there's no possible way this guy is just like me in writing books. So of course I had to take it to my room and read it, and I couldn't put it down, because it's not even that it's the best writing, but it's just the fact that I felt connected and felt seen and understood, because there was other people in the country all around that are going through the same things that I'm going through. And I started learning that there's a community of people that are actually trying to better themselves and others around them. And I wanted to be a part of that. And it took me, that was years ago now, maybe 5-6 years ago. And I wasn't all the way ready to add to that community. But as soon as I became ready and knew that I was, is when I began to start writing as well. And the Prisoner Manifesto is the first book that I have published, but I plan on writing many more over the years. I don't want to stop.
So for the benefit of our audience, there were a couple of other things you mentioned that were really interesting to me. One was you talked about how your book goes into talking about how if you want to find a pen pal or somebody that you'd like to write to on the outside. So if there's people listening to this program and they'd like to write to somebody on the inside, how do they do that?
So there's actually websites like called writeaprisoner.com or meetaninmate.com. And those are probably two of the biggest ones that are out there. And there's thousands of inmate profiles for people to search through and have a little bio, pictures, and their information of how you can contact them, their email address and things like that. And I explain those things to guys in here inside the book. And I also explain about churches and different organizations that do try to find pen pals for prisoners. But I think the biggest one, if somebody outside was trying to find an inmate to write, would be Write a Prisoner or Meet an Inmate. Those have been the two best ones I've seen.
are those sites safe for people? You know, a lot of people would have some hesitancy about writing to somebody who's housed in a correctional facility, regardless of if they've made changes in their lives, positive changes so that they're better, or even if the things that they did weren't, you know, I mean, a lot of people are in prison for minor drug offenses or for third time offenses. I mean, there's a lot of people in prison who are nonviolent, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But I think there's a lot of people who would really be afraid of writing to someone just because of the reputation that people have who are incarcerated. What could you help to those people to hear, to know why it would be a good idea for them to consider writing to someone who's in a prison?
So we all make mistakes, of course, and we all know that part. But I think the most important part of rehabilitation, of somebody becoming a better person while they're in prison, is having a healthy relationship with the community and people inside the community. I've seen countless, just numerous people that the one thing that you think they're, it's impossible for them to change, they're just stuck in their ways until they find someone who cares for them and shows them any form of just compassion from the world, and it changes their whole being. And I've actually seen it rehabilitate people and give them purpose and meaning. And just a lot of people have never felt love from anyone before, or attention or anything like this. So when people from the outside world look in here and take the effort to reach out, it means a lot. It really means a lot, especially when everyone that we know from the past has moved on and forgot about us. To have that, basically, as a stranger, someone take a chance with us, it's really a crazy feeling. That it's magical in a sense. I think it's the most important part to rehabilitation. And that's so important because rehabilitation is so important because most of these guys are coming home someday. So it's best they come out the best versions of their self. And for them to become the best version of themselves, most of the time requires having relationships with people in the community. Like it is, I think it's pretty safe, especially on email. I think it's a safe way to communicate in the beginning. And you can look people's charges up and see what they're in for, and just ask them how do they use their time. And that's usually how you can tell if somebody's trying to be better than they were when they first came to prison.
Thanks. We're talking today with Nicholas. He is an author, and he's also doing time in a correctional facility. And he's written a book called The Prisoner's Manifesto. Nicholas, what about for people who are on the inside who might be hearing this? If they've thought about maybe trying to, you know, get on some of these sites and maybe make some pen pals, what would be the benefits for them in trying to make more contact connections with the outside world?
Having someone to talk to makes you feel human again and makes you remember the good thing about life. Like, we don't have a lot of positive around us, and the highlight of our day is getting on the phone and being able to talk to someone who we know cares about us out there. So a lot of guys really crave that, just having that somebody they can call and talk to every day, even if it's about just anything, just about TV shows, whatever. They just want someone they can connect with. So guys are always looking for people to write and reach out to. Most people I know don't have that. There's a few, about 10% probably do, and the rest really just focusing here. When you have somebody out there that you can write to or talk to, it really brings your focus to the world again, and to society, in the community. Where when you don't have that bridge, all you focus on are the things going on in here, and the majority of things in here aren't positive. So it kind of helps you break away from that mindset.
Thank you. Another thing that you mentioned a little while ago in your book was you talked about how prisoners could start businesses, and there were some resources for that. Could you tell me a little bit more about that? I would be really curious to know how somebody who's inside of a facility could start a business. But I mean, I think that's great, because learning business skills is a really important part of surviving once you get back out.
Yeah, I think the very first thing a prisoner would want to do is check with the facility that they're housed at to make sure it's not against the rules, because every prison has different policies and procedures when it comes to things like that. Some of them only allow you to start a business with permission from them, or only allow you to publish a book with permission from them. So you want to check to make sure it's not against the rules first, because we don't want anything bad coming over that. But the way to do these things is basically the business would be like starting a limited liability company. It's something, a small business that you can have your own bank account with and start developing your own credit. And the idea is there's so many different things you can do with it, but it's really as simple as getting online and filling out forms and submitting it to have your own small business. When I started it here, I didn't know that my prison had rules against it, and that's why I've worn it right now, because I've had a lot of harassment ever since I published the book. A lot of stuff happens to me, like they took my fiance off my phone list, they tried to stop her from visiting, they blocked her on my email, all simply because of a book that I wrote and a podcast that she runs. She actually runs a podcast called More Than an Inmate's Girlfriend, and because of those two things, they tried to censor me and her communication. And all of that probably could have been avoided had I knew it was even a rule in the first place and we had a little transparency between us and the administration. So I think that's the most important part before you start venturing out. But there's a lot of different ideas that prisoners can do when it comes to small businesses to really get it going and to have a business that earns a profit. I don't know how likely that is, but to build credit while you're in here, I think is the most important part of it.
That's great. And your book discusses a little bit about how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Get Wonderful. Into the different websites you can go to and the different ways to get a EIN number or a TIN number. And just it goes through all the different steps that are required for you to do it.
Uh-huh. Great. So one thing I hadn't heard, but I bet it's in your book somewhere, is what about if you wanted to get some more education? Education is always a really good thing. Does your book address where people can go if they want to get more education?
So education is my savior. I write it all the time in the book. Like, I've probably say it more times than is necessary. I believe education is our savior, and that when you get ideas in your head, your perception changes, and when your perception changes, you change. And I think it's so important. But we actually don't have educational programs in the prisons that I'm at, but they just passed law again where we're allowed to receive Pell Grants, and these Pell Grants can be used to get college educations. And it's actually just passed, I believe, in the last year. Now you fill out a FAFSA online and you can receive these Pell Grants. I'm in the process of doing it right now to see how it works, but it would be through the mail. So a college would have to send us books through the mail, and we would do it as like an independent study. But if you don't have that available, the one thing I would say about education is just read any book you can get your hands on. Just, you have to read, and try to read more than you watch TV. And that's my advice when it comes to education. That's where I gained mine, was reading, just trying to spend my time in that way. Because if they don't have a way to educate, if they don't have a program for you or any schooling, then the only thing that's left is to read. And I'm sure every prison in America has a library that's full of good books that can help change your perception in the world.
So your book again, it's called The Prisoner.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you again. So your book again, Nicholas, is called The Prisoner's Manifesto. And and then your nonprofit is called More Than an Inmate.
Yes, More Than an Inmate. I have a Facebook blog that's More Than an Inmate. And I actually have a website. It's very morethananinmate.com. And my name that the book is published is Nicholas J. Ely. Ely is spelled E-L-Y. And yes, More Than an Inmate is really the main focus that I'm really trying to press the idea that reform starts with us in here. And I hope that if we change who we are, that society will give us a second chance.
Baby, you understand. understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a